Yesterday we spoke about Rachel Imenu. As we know in our Parsha, Yaakov Avinu buries her on the side of the road. And the reason for that was because Chazal say that when the Jewish people would be going out to Galus, they would stop by the burial place of Rachel Imenu, and there they would offer a prayer. Now it happens to be the Gemara Maseches Tainis Daf Tes Zayin discusses two opinions as to why it is that the practice always was when Jews had a difficult time, that's why it's in Maseches Tainis, when there's some kind of tragedy, some kind of difficulty happening, why was it that Jews always chose to go visit a grave? What's that all about? And the Gemara has two positions, two opinions as to why we do this. Number one, says the Gemara, because we want to go visit those who have passed away in order that they should be able to pray on our behalf. They should offer a tefillah that whatever it is that we're suffering with, whatever challenge we're living through, they should intercede and they should get involved. They should solicit and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it be taken away. That's reason number one. Reason number two, says the Gemara, is in order that while we visit there, we will get a new perspective on life. It will change and shift our mindset. When a person visits a cemetery, it makes them, once again, put life into perspective, and it makes them think about the seriousness of life. And therefore, the Gemara says, maybe the objective of visiting the burial plot or visiting the cemetery has nothing at all to do with asking them to pray on our behalf or to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather the reason is because for ourselves, that would be a powerful way to put life into perspective at this very serious time. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference? Either way, we have this age-old minhag that people go to a cemetery when something's going wrong. So what's the difference whether it's because we want them to pray for us or because we want that we should be inspired by visiting the cemetery? Answers the Gemara, what if you don't have a Jewish cemetery in your immediate vicinity? Should you go to a Kivrei Akum? Should you go visit the cemetery that has non-Jewish burial plots or not? Well, if the reason why is because we want them to pray and intercede, well, I would imagine that a non-Jewish burial plot is really not going to accomplish that goal. However, if the point is really for me to be reminded of the seriousness and severity of life, then it would make sense that I should go even to a Kever Akum if I don't have a Kever Yisrael in the neighborhood. The Rambam, not in Hilchos Avelos, but rather in Hilchos Tainios, where the Rambam talks about what Jewish people do when they have a time of tragedy, a time of difficulty, the Rambam there quotes that there is a practice that many members of the Jewish community go to visit a cemetery, and the Rambam there quotes the second reason that is given in the Gemara, that the reason we go is not because we want to offer a prayer. The reason we go has nothing at all to do with asking them to intercede. Rather, says the Rambam, and this is what he writes, Ubochim umischananim sham. We supplicate, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, kilomar, Hare atem mesim ka'elu umlo tashuvu midarkechem, says the Rambam. It makes us have a new perspective that if we're not going to take this time seriously, we will, chalila, end up like all these people who are buried here. And therefore, the Rambam says that is why the minhag always was when we have a time of difficulty, a time of tragedy, that we go to the cemetery, not because we ask them to pray for us, but rather because we wanted to make an impression on the lives that we live. And this is quoted lahalacha in the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch in the end of Siman Tavkuf Ayin Tes, that is the reason why we all find this practice in many, many different communities, that they visit a cemetery. Yes, question? So as we're just getting started, give me a minute, okay. So the Ramah doesn't only limit it to Siman Tavkuf Ayin Tes, which is about Hilchos Tainius. The Ramah has this in a number of other places as well. He mentions it in Tavkuf Pei Aleph, he mentions it in Tav Reish Hei, and in Tavkuf Nun Tes. And all those places he's talking about, going to a cemetery on Erev Rosh Hashanah, going to a cemetery on Erev Yom Kippur, and number three, the Ramah says there's a minhag to go to a cemetery on Tisha B'Av as well. And the common denominator between all those three is these are very serious times of year. Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Tisha B'Av are 3 days in the year when we really have to focus our attention. And the Ramah says that a great way for a person to refocus their attention and forget about all the frivolities of life is if we go to a cemetery and remind ourselves, Sof Adam Lamus, that unfortunately this is what happens in the end of life, and we don't want to be there, and therefore, says the Ramah, we have this minhag throughout the year at different times when we want to evoke a serious perspective and mindset on our own part. That's where we go to make sure that we are able to do that properly. Now, the Be'er Heitiv writes there, Be'er Heitiv is a commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er Heitiv writes there in the name of the Maharil, that yes, there is a reason to go to a cemetery because it is a very special place to be. It is very favored because, after all, he says that is Makom Menuchas HaTzadikim. That is where a lot of great people are buried. And therefore, there's something very special about the place where the tzaddik is buried. It happens to be, I read recently, that Rabbi Avadya Mibar Tanura, he was one of the great Gedolim in the 15th century. He was one of the great Gedolim in Italy, and then ultimately he moved to Yerushalayim, and he was very involved in building up the community in Yerushalayim. So he gets to Yerushalayim, and he finds out there are many Jews who frequent the grave of Shmuel HaNavi. Of Shmuel HaNavi, apparently they have a grave where everybody believed Shmuel HaNavi was buried. I don't know how they knew that that was true. But in the 15th century, Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura writes that everybody used to go there, and they claimed that all kinds of great miracles would happen if they went to pray by the graveside of Shmuel HaNavi. So he writes his feelings about it. And listen to what he says. Amnam lo ra'isi velo shamati shenasa osa mofes b'makamahu. Says Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura, I was never aware of anything unusual that happened because somebody visited the grave of Shmuel HaNavi. Interesting. And then he says, I am unaware of anything unusual happening that wasn't supposed to happen anyway when somebody went to visit the grave of Shmuel HaNavi. However, he says, Levam Masha Omrim, there are many who say, Shaharbe Akaros Nifkadu, that there were infertile couples that suddenly were able to have children. I would say that's quite unusual. V'cholim Nisrapu, and there were many people who were deathly sick, and somehow they were able to be recover. And he says that they attribute to the Tfilah Shehispalal Nusham. They attribute that to the fact that they went to the kever of Shmuel HaNavi, and they offered a prayer, and all of a sudden everything worked out. And says Rabbi Avadya, V'chol Eila Dvarim She'en Lahem Hechra. He says, I have no reason to believe that that is true. Fascinating. I found that fascinating. He says, did they end up having a child? Yes. Do I believe that the child has anything to do with them going to the kever of Shmuel HaNavi? No. So I find that, like, that's the ultimate litvak. Okay, of course, he was before the Hasidim even came around, but this is like a fascinating passage where Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura writes, everybody used to go, and I heard amazing stories, and I'm not denying that the stories happened. I'm just telling you that the story has nothing to do with going to the kever of Shmuel HaNavi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided it's time for you to have a child, you have a child. So I remember when we were first married, so one of my wife's relatives was making a bris in Borough Park. And sometimes they run on a very different schedule in Borough Park, and Shacharis is not at the time that we would expect it to be. So they made a bris, and it was a little bit later than one would expect in the morning when they started Shacharis, and they had wanted that we should serve as the kvater. And there's a big skula. They say that if somebody serves as the kvater, it's a skula for children. We had just gotten married, so my in-laws called me up and said, you know, they want you to be the kvater, you should come. So I asked my father, I said, Daddy, you know, they asked me to be the kvater, it's a skula, it's very nice, it's a cousin, but he said, you know, you're going to miss a whole day of yeshiva. So I asked him, is it worth it to go to Brooklyn to do this? After all, I'm going to miss a whole first Seder in yeshiva, and I'm not going to be able to learn. So my father said, I know it's a big skula, but I don't think it's any less of a skula to sit here in yeshiva and learn Torah the whole morning. You'll be okay without the skula, you'll be all right. I said, okay. And it was gnawing at me, I wasn't sure what to do. In the end, we didn't listen to my father, and we went. And then my wife became pregnant, and then we got the news of when the due date was supposed to be, and I kid you not, it was 9 months to the day from that bris. So I was very excited. When it came time to tell my parents, I went, and I told my father, by the way, you know, I just want you to know that that bris that you told me not to go to, when we went anyway, and the due date happens to be 9 months to the day from the morning of that bris. I'm just letting you know. You know, do what you want with it. And he was totally unfazed. There was nothing about it that fazed him. And he said, yeah, I told you. I said, what did you tell me? He said, I told you. There would be nothing less. Had you sat in yeshiva and learned that morning, you would have also had the skula. So, again, there's two perspectives. Some people look at it and say, you see, the skula worked. And other people say, any mitzvah that you're involved with would have worked. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give you a child, he would have given it to you anyway. And that is just an interesting story, but I find that Rabbi Avadya Mibar Tanura seems to have had the same perspective. What is important to keep in mind is what the Berhetiv quotes in the name of the Maharil, that somebody who goes to a Beis HaKvaros and is mispalel, which very often is the case, that we go to a Beis HaKvaros and we daven, he said, Al Yasim Magamaso Neged HaMesim, you're not allowed to pray to the person who has passed away. That, he says, is certainly inappropriate. Ach Yivakish Ma'ashem Yizbarach, he says, you should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should have mercy on you in the merit of the person who is buried here. So I have a grandfather or a great-grandfather or a great tzaddik, a great nashim tzidkanius, whoever it is, and I go to pray because there's something going on in my family. That's okay. But says the Be'er Heitev, make sure you understand what it is that you're doing. You're not praying to them. You're not asking them to do anything. All you're doing is asking that our Kaddish Baruch Hu should have rachmanus on you because of the schus of this person who passed away. And he proves it because after all, the Rambam says, Ani mamin be'emuna shleima. The Rambam says, one of the yud gimel ikari ha'emuna, the fifth of the ikarim that the Rambam lists is, Sha'abore yisbarach shemo, lo levada roi lehispala, we only offer a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, ve'ein roi lehispala lizulaso. There's nobody else that we need to offer a prayer to. We have an opportunity to connect directly with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we don't need anybody in the middle. We can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So much so that the Achronim quote a passage of the Yerushalmi. I'm leaving out the whole beginning of the passage because it's not completely relevant to what we're saying. But in the end of the sentence there, the Yerushalmi says, Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. Our relationship with God is not the same as our relationship with other people. In Baal Adam Tzara, if somebody is going through a difficulty, Lo Yitzaveach L'Michal V'lo L'Gavriel, don't try to reach out to this angel or to that one, and the malachim are malachi asharis. But still, don't call out to Eliyahu HaNavi and don't ask Michal or Gabriel, as great as they are. Ela li yitzaveach v'ani ona lo miyad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't be afraid. Talk to me. Talk to me. Have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't need anyone else in the middle. And that is exactly what the Chassam Sofer picks up on as well. And he quotes in the name of the Maharal Miprag that normally, when you have somebody who's trying to advocate for themselves in the legal system, so I don't know how to speak legal terminology. I don't know how to defend myself. So obviously I'm going to get a lawyer. I'm going to have some kind of proxy who's going to stand there and knows how to present my case better, is a little bit more polished than I am, knows how to speak the language, knows how to stand up in front of a judge. That's the way it's normally going to work. But says the Chassam Sofer, that is not the way our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. We have the opportunity, Karov Hashem Lechol Karov, Lechol Asher Yikra'u Ve'emes, and there's no reason to ask anybody else. Not just no reason, writes the Rambam, if you go and ask somebody else, it means you don't believe in this Ikar of Emunah, that there is no other reason to go ask anyone else who's in the middle. And it's because of this very fine line. It's very hard for a person to go to a cemetery and really have the right kavana. What am I davening for? What am I not davening for? Who am I davening to? That is why the Shach writes in Yeredeya that if it was up to me, the Shach says, I would advocate that we should not be offering tfilos in a Beis HaKvaros. And the Shach says the reason why is because, aside from the problem that the Shach doesn't even mention, aside from the problem of this Rambam, that often people are going to daven to the dead person instead of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the merit of the person who passed away, aside from that, the Shach writes, we have a Isser D'Oraisa of Dorei Shel HaMesim, that we're not allowed to ask favors from the Mesh, we're not allowed to ask them to do things for us, and therefore, writes the Shach, this is something that is a very delicate, fine line that one needs to walk on, and you have to be very, very careful when visiting a grave. A very similar mistake that we find is often made when people have a challenge or a certain difficulty in their personal life, and they run to a righteous person, they run to a tzaddik to get a bracha. And the truth is, this is something that the Gemara talks about. The Gemara says, Yelech etzel chacham v'yevakesh alav rachamim. The Gemara says, when you have something wrong, go to a great person and ask them to be mevakesh rachamim, to ask for mercy on your behalf. So much so, the Gemara writes as well, Amar li Abba zil gabayu delivrach. The Gemara Moed Katan says, somebody was once going through a difficult time, and he was advised, go to a great person, and that person will pray on your behalf. The Ramah, however, says, don't make a mistake. When we go to pray, when we go when something's going wrong, and we ask a great righteous person to pray on our behalf, what does that mean? Writes the Ramah. We have a pasuk where we're told when Rachel Imenu was unable to have children. Vatera Rachel ki lo yalda leYaakov. Rachel realizes she's not having children. It's not working. Vatomer al Yaakov, she turns to her husband and she says, Hava li banim vim ayin mesa anochi. She tells Yaakov in very strong terms, give me a child. And Yaakov responds and he's upset. Vayichar af, Yaakov. And Yaakov is upset, Vayomer, and he says, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, do you think that I have the ability to give you children or to hold you back from having children? Asher mana mimech pri betan, do you think that I'm the one who's holding you back? Writes the Ramah. What was this exchange all about? So he says, Shelo lasim emtsai. One should never feel the need to have somebody be the middleman between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lazer kiven Yaakov. Writes the Ramah. Do you think that Rachel Imenu didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course she knew that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who grants bracha in our lives, who ultimately will give a child or not give the child. It's obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says the Rama, what she got wrong here was the fact that she thought Yaakov Avinu needs to advocate for her. It's not that she was asking Yaakov to give it to her, she knew he can't. But she said, I want you to advocate for me, and that was a mistake, because you don't need an advocate. You can do it on your own, and says the Rama, Afilu hachi chara aleha. Even though this is what she was asking for, still it was wrong, it was incorrect, it was improper, and therefore he writes that is not the right thing to do. So the problem is, how do you understand the other Gemara? The Gemara says when something goes wrong, you should go to a chacham v'yavakesh alav rachamim. How is that to be understood in light of what the Rama writes here? And in fact, the Rama himself quotes that Gemara lahalacha in Yeridei Siman Shin Lamed Hey. There the Rama says, somebody who has something wrong should go to a chacham shevair v'yavakesh alav rachamim. And the answer perhaps could be, I don't know, but the answer perhaps could be that the Meiri and some other Rishonim there write on the Gemara that what does it mean when we're told something that goes wrong, go to a chacham and ask for rachamim. Says the Meiri, it doesn't mean that the chacham should intercede on your behalf. You have the right to pray just like he or she has the right to pray. So why am I going to the Chacham? He says, because when you go to a Chacham, you're going to learn how to daven properly. So go to the Beis Medrash where the Chacham is davening Mincha. And go watch how a Chacham has Kavana when he davens and doesn't talk during davening. And that will be the greatest chus, to learn from the Chacham how you are supposed to daven. Says the Meiri, that's what the Gemara means. It doesn't mean I should go ask somebody else to pray on my behalf. I have the ability to pray just like they do. Writes the Rambam, don't believe that somebody else could stand in the way of you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the direct connection that all of us have the ability to make. But what the Gemara means to teach us here is, Yevakesh Alav Rachamim, not that the Chacham should ask Rachamim, but when I learn from him how I can be Mevakesh for myself, Rachamim, that is the greatest chus that one can ever have. And that is something that will go even further, that even when I walk away from the great confines of where this Chacham is, I will have the ability to learn how to daven from this person, and ultimately that will help me in the future as well.